second. Praise the Lord. We've already had some awesome word this morning, haven't we? Thank you for all that shared this morning. It was awesome. Great, great, great. Since I've started teaching on prayer, going to continue that through January at least. So I was thinking about minister on this morning, and we know that our theme this year is seeing God's goodness in a big way. And every time I say that, I see the words big in capital letters. And I was going to preach on some more about that today. And I just thought, you know, any time that we preach the word, we're preaching about God's goodness. Because that's who he is. Amen. Because he is good all the time. So be expecting, and some of you already experiencing God's goodness in a big way. And we talked last Sunday about the overflow and how that we begin to understand the goodness of God, and we begin to receive that and walk in it. That's when you're going to begin to experience overflow in your life. Amen. So I started Wednesday night about teaching on prayer, and some of you are thinking, oh no, another message on prayer. Get that out of your mind. Because the point of me ministering this today, I know with me studying on it and going back and in the Word and looking at it, it has re-energized my prayer life. It has caused me to get back in there and say, okay, God, let's come on. I'm going to come into agreement with you on some things. And some of you may have forgot about something you prayed for and haven't seen the answer yet. And so maybe something will be ignited in you today. That fire will be ignited in you today. Say, okay, let's get back. I need to get back and pray about this thing again. I haven't seen it. I forgot about it. So let's get back into prayer. So I believe you're going to be re-energized today through this message. Amen. And so I may be saying some things you already know, but we can always receive revelation. We never get so outgrown that we can't learn. Amen. So always have a teachable spirit. Always maintain a teachable spirit. And somebody tells you something, discern it with the word, and then if it's not, just throw it away. Keep on going, but never get to the point that you don't have a teachable spirit. A prayer for you today. So start, we're going to recap a few things that we talked about Wednesday night, because I know some of you can't come on Wednesday nights. So we're going to go back and recap a little bit of what we said Wednesday night. So, you know, there are those that say, well, if God is in control and he is God, what's the need of praying? He's going to have his way in the long run anyway, right? Because he's God. And so prayer is something maybe that we think we just say verbally because it's a church thing to say. So many times we say church things, you know, and we really don't know what they mean, or we really don't know the power behind it. Or we see somebody and they'll say, pray for me. You go, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then we walk off, and do we ever pray? Or, you know, that situation really needs prayer. That's all we say about it. But to understand power and understand prayer and understand the power of prayer and understand the role we as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, we must understand how God himself has set up the system from heaven's perspective that governs the earth through us. Amen? So there is power in prayer. So we got to get back to, okay, how is this thing set up? What is my role in prayer and how God wants to govern the earth through me? So prayer is a result of God's established authority between heaven and earth. The kingdom of God is in us, amen? So he's wanting to get what is already placed inside of us from heaven into the earth. And he's given the church that authority. Amen. So that's why it's so important that we watch the words of our mouth. Because death and life are what are in the power of the tongue. So if the enemy can keep you from the word, he can keep you from receiving the revelation of that word. Because that word has power once you get into it to bring revelation to you. And so that's why he wants to keep you from the word. Because if he can keep you from the truth of that word, then you're not going to be speaking that truth of the word. And the truth is what sets you free. The truth is what has power in it. Amen. So respecting God's authority and learning from the word how to operate with the system that God has set up in the earth. And what is the secret to prayer? I found out there's no secret. There's no secret to prayer, no password, no prayer position. There's not a blanket, shawl, or towel, or anything that causes God to drop down what he's doing in the throne room of heaven and give us his full undivided attention. He already has our attention. Woo! He already has our attention. Amen. So all these things that we do is for us. It's to get ourselves in position. We don't have to do any of those things to get God's attention. He's just waiting with a listening ear for somebody to come into agreement with what already has been established. So we already have his undivided attention. He's just waiting to hear from us. So, you know, prayer is simply talking to God, who so longed for us to come into agreement with him and his word. And we have a promise. We have this promise in writing in John 5:14 that God hears the prayers of those who are called by his name. Then those prayers will be heard and answered. 1 John 5:14, since we have this confidence, we also have what? Great boldness. Because of why? Because of the confidence. We also have great boldness before him. For if we present any request, here's the key, any request agreeable to his what? To his will, which is his word, our covenant, amen. Any request agreeable to his will, he will hear us. Another translation says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, then he will hear us. So prayer was born out of an arrangement for man's assignment on the earth. God needed a vessel to speak through. He needed a vessel to operate in this earth to bring his will to pass. And God is only limited to what he wants to limit himself to. And he has chosen you and me to bring forth his will to pass in this earth. Amen. So Genesis 1:20 says that God said, let us, Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, what? Have dominion, have authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, all the earth, and ever. I just had an image in my head, and I don't know why, but when I was growing up across the road from my mom and dad's house, there was a field, there was a big, huge bull in that field. And I just imagined myself taking authority over that thing. And that's like Laverne was saying a while ago, you know. And we, and Danny's not here, but we was kind of cohorts because we was the same age, so he don't tell nothing on me, and I don't tell nothing on him, amen? So we would always aggravate that bull and see if we could outrun it, and thank God we did. But that's what I thought of when we have the authority over the cattle and the beasts of the earth, amen? Verse 28, and God blessed them. Who did he bless? He blessed the people that were made after his image. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be prosperous, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, subdue it, and have dominion. We don't realize how much power we have in us. And it's all good, and it's all for purpose. And so we just need to start flicking them flies off. Amen. Just flicking them flies off. I don't like flies either. So let them. Who is them? It's mankind. It's us. So this is where God established with the relationship with him and man on the earth. And so with this, the Creator God defined the boundaries that he limited himself to operate in. It's not that he came, but that's because he chose to. So while he can do anything, he refuses to go against his own word that he has written, so based upon his integrity. So Psalms 138 tells us that God has exalted his word. 38:2 says, I will worship toward the holy temple, praise your name for your loving kindness and for truth. And David says, for you have magnified, you have exalted your word above your name. Whoo! Hallelujah, the power of God's word. And the second thing is God will never violate or break his word. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God is only limited in ways that he has chosen to limit himself. He is completely committed to his word. If he said it, you believe it, and you'll receive it. Jeremiah 1:12 says, the Lord said to me, you've seen well, for I'm active, I am alert and active. Watching over my word, to perform it. Whatever God speaks, he willfully obligates to align himself with the word that he's already spoken. Any law of God is also a law unto himself. And he doesn't violate that. He's faithful to his word. And back to Genesis 1:26 that we were talking about a while ago about, let us make men in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion in the earth. And God blessed them and God said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge to do it and have dominion in it. So God gave man the legal right authority to operate in the earth. And God did not include himself. So when he wanted to freely operate in the earth, he submitted himself to his own word. And he came as a man. And man became the legal steward then of the earth domain. Amen. And he is a spirit, the physical body. Therefore, any spirits with physical bodies have legal authority in the earth, and they're not from Mars. It's that person that's sitting next to you. It's that person that you see in the mirror every morning. That who has the legal authority in the earth now. Amen. Amen. So prayer is that agreement. Prayer is that agreement. That's what we're talking about. Prayer is that agreement with that legal established word that God has already brought to pass. So I read somewhere a long time ago that prayer is earthly license for heavenly interference. So we need to pray, God, interfere in my life. I'm giving you permission, God, to interfere in that situation. Amen. Just mess them up real good, God. Amen. So when we pray, we are exercising our legal authority in the earth to invoke. I like that word, invoke. You know, I'm not as smart as I think I am sometimes, because sometimes I hear words, the Holy Spirit, I have no idea what it is, so I have to look it up. So when we pray, we're exercising our legal authority in the earth to invoke, you know, to heaven's influence on the planet. Why? Because there are some things that God wants to do in the earth, and the only way he's limited is because of people. It's because of us that we don't know about the power of prayer and the power of agreement. So when we pray, it is his created man that God that he created, getting him involved in any given situation that we are talking to him about and coming into agreement with him. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit and on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With all this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So why would God ask believers to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers? I mean, he could do whatever he wanted to do in the earth without us. But how many of you ever woke up in the middle of the night and had a burn to pray for someone? Or God spoke to you something to pray about or in the middle of the day? Well, if God didn't need you, why would he wake you up? Because you know you need your sleep. And you don't like to be woke up. So if God didn't need you to agree with him, why would Holy Spirit nudge you to wake up and pray? But he said, hey, you know, Holy Spirit, wake up. I need you to come into agreement with the Father. Hey, well, I need you to wake up. I need you to come into agreement with the Holy Spirit here. There's some things that need to be done in the earth, and I need you to get up and pray. Amen. Whoo, golly. Hallelujah. Whoo, hallelujah. Nudge us awake, Lord, whether it's in the middle of the night or the middle of the day. Nudge us awake. Nudge us awake. Psalms 121:4 says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. So if God never sleeps, and he doesn't, but he wakes us up to pray for someone, it's not that he needs you to, but he needs somebody in the earth. He needs a physical body in the earth to cooperate with him and to come into agreement with him to see his will pass. Luke 18:1-8 says, and he spake a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So there was a city, you know the story. There was a city, a judge, which feared God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in the city. She came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And would he not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. He shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Now, I know some people take that scripture and say, you've got to pound on heaven door and you've got to scream and you've got to say, I'm in a crisis, Daniel. God already knows you're in a crisis. I don't think that's what that parable is talking about. That parable is saying, listen, if this unjust judge that don't even know me, that's just plain old mean, if some widow comes crying out to him and this unjust judge can avenge her, what do you think the Father in heaven that owns everything, that lives inside of you, what do you think he'll do for you? Amen. That's what I think that means. You know, he knows what's going on in your life. But he said, I already know what's going on. I just need you to find out about the situation again in my word to see what we can do about it. Amen. So we're told why Jesus was giving this parable to his disciples. He first was saying, listen, pray, yes, you need to pray. But in the midst of praying, don't faint. And that word translated faint means E-N-K-A-K-E-O. And it means to lack courage. It means to lose heart. Or it means to be faint-hearted. When I thought of the word faint, I thought of that word when a person faints, the medical term for it is syncope. And so what happens is you lose oxygen to a part of your body, and it causes you to pass out, you know. And so it could be for any reason. It could be smells. It could be from coughing. It could be for whatever. You know, this word is life. And if we don't get that word into our lives, that seed of the word of God, we're going to have clogged arteries. And if you want your arteries to stay clear and not faint and become discouraged, you've got to stay in this word, which is life. It will cause you to breathe. Amen. And you know, I just hear God saying again that some of you have quit breathing because of things that have come along in your life unexpectedly. And when you don't breathe, you lose oxygen to your brain. Amen. So that's the way it is. He wants you to breathe again. He wants you to take that situation, say, here it is, God. I can't do nothing about it, but I know you can, and I know you're going to give me the wisdom on how to walk through it, how to deal with it. Amen. So don't allow the spirit of syncope steal from you and cause you to become discouraged. So we pray over an issue, and sometimes we give up too quick. And when you keep praying, it's not because you don't believe. You keep praying because you do believe. And sooner or later, it's going to come to pass. People say, how much should I pray? How long? Until you see it. And don't allow the enemy to say, well, you keep on praying, you must not be believing. Enemy, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. I'm keeping on praying because I do believe. Do I know God's here? I know he heard me the first time I cried out to him. But when I keep on praying, I'm keeping my mind refreshed and renewed that this is what God says, ha, ha, ha. And I know that it'll come to pass, hallelujah. So I just keep on believing. So, you know, we pray over an issue once and twice, and by the third time, you begin to give excuses as to maybe. And I don't like that word maybe because it's like the word why. You know, when you begin to question why, that opens the door for the enemy to come in and cause doubt. You know, so maybe. Well, that just opens the door. When you say, well, maybe God don't want me to have this. Maybe it's not the will of God for me to have this miracle. Maybe it's not the will of God for me to prosper. Maybe it's not God's will for me to be happy. Maybe, maybe, maybe. So don't let the devil rob you of your miracles by trying to explain it away why it's not happening. Prepare yourself for the manifestation of it. Amen. So I challenge you today not to faint in the place of prayer. The answer might appear delayed. Amen. You remember that message that the brother preached us years ago, 3 days late. Sometimes God is 3 days late, but that's okay. He is perfect timing, and he knows exactly when to cause that to come to pass, cause that to come to pass in our life. Amen. So faint, don't give up. So refuse to give up. Tell yourself, or if you need to tell anybody to give up, you need to be telling the devil to give up. You gotta tell him to, you know, flick him off like flies. So the scripture above is the parable Jesus used that I just read to encourage the believer to stand on his or her ground. So I talked to you about how that I don't believe that you have to pound on whatever to get God's attention. He has already got your attention. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got to be like the widow woman. Don't give up. Keep asking and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Don't give up because your miracle is here. And how many know it's just about the moment you're able to give up and quit, it's right there. So sometimes the pressure, that's when the pressure gets the heaviest. Amen. It's right before the breakthrough. The Bible tells us in 16:19, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. He says, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind, declared to be improper and unlawful on the earth, must be what ain't already is bound in heaven. That's praying the will of God and the word of God. Already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what already is loosed in heaven. So if it's already taken place in the kingdom, then it can take place in our lives. Amen. God gets things done in the earth and through his sons and his daughters. And guess what? That was his idea. That was his idea, and it was a good one. Amen. So he's the one that gave the authority to us. But as his sons and his daughters, we must operate just like he operates, in accordance with his word. He's bound to his word, and we should be bound to the word. And when we're bound to the word and we pray, it's bound to happen. Amen? That was good. But as his sons and daughters, we must operate just like he operates, through the word. Amen? So Matthew 18:18-20 says that, truly I tell you that whatever you forbid or declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be whatever is forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit, declare proper and unlawful on earth must be what already is permitted in heaven. Again, I tell you, this is the one I want to read. Again, I tell you, if two of you, see, I've got the Holy Ghost, I don't need anybody else. If two of you shall agree, harmonize together, that means being on the same page, looking at the same thing, praying about something in agreement, making a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything, they may ask, what's going to happen? It might come to pass. It will come to pass and be done for them. By who? By your Father in heaven. Glory to God. For who or wherever, two or three. We got more than two today, don't we? We even got more than three today. Amen. For whoever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers into my name, there who is in the midst, I am. And guess what I am does? He is whatever you need to be at the moment that you need it. I am. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I'm my goodness and I'm mercy and I'm grace. Whatever you need me to be. He says, I am the one that's in your midst. Amen. So who is doing the binding and loosing? We are the church. How are we supposed to do it? In accordance with the covenant, what the word says. And what happens when we get together to pray in agreement between each other and God? A powerful thing takes place. Darkness begins to dispel. Amen. The wickedness that wants to keep our prayers from being answered has to move. Glory to God. So every action taken by God on earth involves the cooperation of a human being, of a person, of a man or a woman. You know, when God wanted to start a nation, and I read this Wednesday night, when God wanted to start a nation, it was Abraham that said, yeah. When God wanted to rescue the people of Israel from Egypt, it was Moses who said, yeah. When God wanted to bring his people back from captivity, it was Daniel that said, yeah. And when God wanted to build his house, his temple, it was Solomon that said, yeah, that began to cooperate with him. And when God wanted to preserve his people, it was Esther that said, yeah. And when God wanted to reach the Gentiles, it was Paul that said, yeah, I'll go. John Wesley once said, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. We need some people that say, yeah, yeah, I'll pray. I'll intercede. I'll stand in the gap. Amen. So, but without God, we cannot. But without man, he will not. With God, we can't. But without man, God says, I've limited myself. And I've given back to the church the keys to the kingdom. Amen. So he has chosen to live in himself and operate in the earth through us. And that prayer is the connection between the spirit realm and the earthly realm. It's that connection. His will is done on earth as it is in heaven when we pray. And it's God's idea, instituted prayer, because it's part of the system that he has set up. And when we operate in that system, it'll work. It will work. Amen. So Ezekiel 22, 30, 31 says, I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on belief of the land, so I will not have to destroy it. But I found none. So I'll pour my wrath on them, consume them, and all they have declared, says the Sovereign Lord. God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Amen. To pray until we see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So if we don't pray, we are hindering heaven from interfering with earthly affairs. And it's our responsibility for the earth and what happens here. That's our responsibility. And we do it through prayer as God does it. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we just thank you for your word today, that we have been ignited with a fire today to get back into prayer and to know that it's something that you have set up, God. It's your system. It's your way of doing things. The word that we received today, Father, we've been re-energized to take a hold of your word and to pray what's in your word into existence. And we refuse to give up. We refuse to be denied. Where you go, we will go. We need some yes in the house today. Thank you for your word, Lord, that's confirmed with miracles, signs, and wonders. Oh, thank you, Father God. I thank you for those that are here today. Lord, I just thank you that you are causing favor to come into their lives from north, east, south, and west. I thank you, Lord, that they are blessed to be a blessing, that every thing they touch, it's blessed and highly favored of you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we leave this place today and go into this next week. Whatever may come, whatever we may face, we know that you've already gone before us and the answer is already there. We have ears to hear and a heart open to hear and to receive from you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being who you are. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Have a blessed week. Mm-hmm.